Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message, I'm going to be preaching from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 17, and I'll begin with verse 5 of Jeremiah 17. The reason I wanted to go back to the Old Testament is, as I read through the Bible, as I study the New Testament and the Old Testament, I find that it is a miraculous thing how the Bible in both testaments has the same message, which is the message of salvation, the message of the gospel, and people basically are the same. I mean, there are many cultural, language differences, things like that. But basically, at the heart of the matter concerning salvation, concerning the problem of sin and salvation from sin, the problem of man's relationship with God and how can man be right with God, since the fall of man recorded back in Genesis chapter 3, it's always been the same, and people haven't changed. Man by nature, and I always like to qualify this. I don't like to assume that people really know everything that I mean or all the words or the phrases. But when we talk about man by nature, we're talking about human beings as we are born naturally into this world. The Bible teaches that we all fell in Adam. Now, Adam fell. Adam was the first man created by God, and he fell by disobeying God's law. The law, the covenant of works, is which I believe is appropriate to call it. So Adam fell, but Adam was a representative. And Adam represented the whole human race. And so when Adam fell, we all fell into sin and the consequences of sin, which is death. And so salvation is salvation from sin and death. And so God, immediately after the fall of Adam, he revealed the way of salvation, which was not by the works of man, but it was by the grace of God through a God-appointed substitute. And that substitute was revealed in Genesis 3:15 as the seed of woman, which later was identified as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually, who is the seed of woman. He was born of a woman, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 4, but not of the aid of man. His holy humanity, Christ, who is Jesus Christ. I talk about that a lot on this program. He is God, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in every attribute of deity. But he came to this earth and assumed or took into union with himself a holy, sinless human nature that was created for him in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit without the aid of man. And that's why he's called the seed of woman back in Genesis 3:15. And God revealed immediately after the fall that the punishment of sin was death, and that death had to be such a death that would satisfy the justice of God. And the only one who could bring about that death, that death that would satisfy the justice of God in the place of God's people, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he had to have a human body, blood and bones and all of that. He had to die. God cannot die, but Christ, in his humanity, he did die. And that death is the satisfaction, or the Bible calls it a propitiation, satisfaction to God's justice for the sins of his people, those for whom he died. And so as we go through the Bible from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way up through the Old Testament to the book of Malachi, and we continue on in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and go all the way through the epistles of Paul and John and Peter. I don't mean to leave out the Acts, that's Luke. That story never changes. The people are the same. We're all sinners, all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Well, in Jeremiah's day, it was the same. But what people fail to realize sometimes when you read the Scripture and you see descriptions of the sinfulness of men and women, they fail to realize that many times, in fact, I would venture to say a lot of the time, most of the time maybe, it's talking about religious people. People who are doing their best to try to be good. Not just the immoral, perverted faction of society. So look at Jeremiah 17 and look at verse 9, for example. Now I'm going to go back to some verses, but look here, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, when you read passages like that, where does your mind go? What kind of people is he talking about? Well, surely he's talking about people who are liars, who are deceivers, robbers, thieves, immoral people. No, he's talking about religious people here. What he's talking about, what this verse describes, the deceitful heart, that's wicked, desperately wicked, above all things. What he's talking about is the heart of every one of us by nature. You say, well, from my youth up, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to be moral and all of that. Well, and that's good, and you should do that. But what this is talking about is in the matter of salvation and how to attain and maintain a right relationship with God. In that specific matter, every person who is born into this world, fallen in Adam, born dead, the Bible says spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, in this matter, your heart, my heart, will deceive you and deceive me. And it deceives us into thinking that our being good enough, our efforts to be good enough, our works are good enough to establish and maintain a right relationship with God. Now that's the state of all of us by nature, as we are naturally born. I quote a verse on this program all the time, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, which says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned or understood." Now, the natural man is all of us as we are naturally born. And that ought to make, if you know anything about the Bible, that ought to make sense to you. Because what did Christ tell a religious man in John chapter 3? He said, "You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven." You see, salvation involves a new birth. And in that new birth, that also involves God giving His people a new heart. Now here in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Well, if my natural heart deceives me, then what do I need? I need a new heart. And that's what God does in the new birth, in regeneration and conversion. Now, what is the heart? Now, understand that now. We have to define our terms, don't we? The heart is the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience. It's what drives you. Sometimes it's called the reins. Look back at Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now what you have to understand is that wickedness that Jeremiah is speaking of is man trying to work his way into God's favor and God's salvation. Works salvation. You see, salvation conditioned on sinners. Salvation conditioned on our works, on our will. And that's wicked. Now, why is that wicked? Is it because we're not sincere enough? Or is it because that we not trying hard enough? Or is it, why is that wicked? I'll tell you why it's wicked. Now, listen very carefully. It's wicked because it does not glorify God. The glory of God is the issue in salvation. God must be glorified. He must be honored. And that means He must be true to Himself. He must be glorified and honored so that He can that you can understand who He is and what He is all about. And so, and I just realized that I haven't given you the title of this message yet, but we'll put it on the first of the message. But it's the same message of grace. That's what the title is. The same message of grace. It's always been the same, and it'll never change. And until Christ comes again, it'll be the same message of grace. So when we look at this, we see the wickedness of man, not only in the immorality and the perverted acts of man and thoughts, that's wicked, but we see the wickedness of man in his efforts to save himself by his own works. That doesn't glorify God. It glorifies the sinner. You see, that's why Paul wrote, God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross. And secondly, it's wicked because it denies the reality of my problem. My problem is this, the heart is deceitful. My natural problem, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? See, it's the same old problem. And that's why we say it's the same message of grace. The same old message. And so when we look at this, we see that Jeremiah is speaking to the religious people of his day. Jeremiah prophesied around 450, 500 years before the coming of Christ. And he prophesied in the southern kingdom of Judah, specifically in Jerusalem. And he speaks of these people as those who are religiously and constantly trying to appear before God based upon a righteousness of their own. Now let's look back at verse 5 of Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah writes, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now that verse tells us a lot. The man or woman who trust in themselves. I can do it. I make the difference. Salvation is conditioned on me. You hear this message today that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. Now, you're the deciding vote. You see, well, you're trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in Christ. And so he says, cursed. That man or woman who trust in themselves is cursed. They're not blessed. They may have a lot of good things. They may be rich. They may be healthy. They may have healthy children. But in God's eyes, they're cursed. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, blessings from God, the blessedness of salvation is the blessedness of His grace. And He says, the man or woman who makes flesh his arm. That means his power. The arm is a symbol of power. Whenever Isaiah spoke of the arm of the Lord, you know who he's talking about? The power of God? He's talking about Christ. Salvation that comes by Christ. Salvation conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled all those conditions. That's who Christ is. The 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about Christ being the wisdom of God and the power of God unto salvation. Gospel, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. So the person who trusts in himself and makes his own works or his own will, his arm, his power, it says, his heart departs from the Lord. As people, and there's a great image in the book of Jeremiah where he speaks of the people looking toward the temple. That's the temple that Solomon built. That was the place where God would meet with sinners in the Holy of Holies. And the people are outside the temple and they're looking toward the temple and they've got their hands raised and they're praying to God through the temple, but their minds and hearts are not right with God because they don't trust in the Lord. They don't believe salvation by grace conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled those conditions, who brought forth all the righteousness that I must have and need in order to be right with God. And as they're praying, they're backing up. In other words, their prayers, their worship, their thoughts, their heart, they think is drawing them near to God, but it's getting them farther and farther away from God. So if you're a person who is trying to work your way into God's favor, earn God's blessing, earn God's salvation, you're cursed, the Bible says, and you're actually departing from the Lord. You may feel in your heart that you're getting closer to God. But what does he say here in verse 9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now this person who trusts in themselves and who make flesh their arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. Look at verse 6. He says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. Like an animal, the heath, I believe, is like an animal, like a rabbit or a jackrabbit. He said, like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, and not inhabited. You see, that's the opposite of the plush, well-watered places that God has for his people. Those are symbols, you see. But he says in verse 7, now here's the opposite. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Now that's a believer. That's one who's looking to and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation. You see, it's the same old message. And what a message it is. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not of me. If God were to leave me to myself, to my natural deceived heart, I would never come to Him. These people today, they talk about free will. Well, free will is not the fact that we make choices. We make choices every day. You get up in the morning, you start making choices. What the Bible teaches is that man's will is in bondage to sin and the deceitful heart. And what the Bible teaches is that if we are left to ourselves, to our own desires, natural desires, and our own wills, we will not make the right choices when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God. We'll always make the wrong choices. That's what the Bible says. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. Why is it we cannot come to God in our natural state? It's because we don't want him. We don't desire him. Our wills are all set on exalting self, making ourselves to be something when we're not. And so what does God do in salvation? Again, he gives us a new heart. And that new heart means a new will. He gives us a desire. Somebody asked me one time, well, are you saying that God brings us to Christ against our will? No, I'm saying that God powerfully changes our will. That's what he does. He gives us a new, he makes us willing, the psalmist said, in the day of his power. And that's what salvation is. Well, he says in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now, what is it to trust in the Lord? It's to look to Christ for all salvation. His blood alone for the forgiveness of my sins. His righteousness alone for my justification before God. I don't stand before God in a righteousness that I worked out or contributed to. I stand before God in the righteousness of God in Christ, the merits of his obedience unto death as God has charged or imputed it to me. My sins were imputed to Christ. His righteousness is imputed to me. He is the Lord my righteousness. Jeremiah spoke of that two times in his prophecy, Jeremiah 23 and Jeremiah 33. His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's the transliteration from the Hebrew. And it means the Lord our righteousness. You see, in the gospel, there is the righteousness of God revealed, not the righteousness of men, not a cooperation. It's not what Christ did plus what I do. It's not what Christ did plus what I desire. It's Him alone. Salvation's all the Lord. Now, that person who trusts in the Lord, his hope, the Lord is. That's the certain expectation of salvation. And it says in verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's the case. Now, the person who is blessed of the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, that's the person who has been given a new heart. The heart which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked has been taken out. Ezekiel prophesied of that in Ezekiel 36. Look at verse 10. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. That means the Word of God tells the state of my heart is not based upon what I think or what I feel. It's based upon the Word of God. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Now, what is your way? Is yours the way of Cain, salvation by works, or the way of Abel, salvation by the grace of God? You see, Abel had that same old story, that same old message. And so, and he said, and according to the fruit of his doings. What are the fruit of your doings? The Bible says that those who are in Christ, looking to Him who walk by faith, based upon His blood and His righteousness, they bring forth, they bear fruit unto God. But all those who are working, trying to work their way into God's favor, they bring forth fruit unto death. What do you mean fruit unto death? I mean this. The best you can do when aimed at attaining or maintaining salvation cannot end in anything but eternal death. That's what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And that's the same old message, isn't it? It's the same old message in Genesis. It's the same old message in Jeremiah. It's the same old message in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the way up through Revelation. Never changes, and it never will. God saves sinners one way, and all other ways are products of the deceitful heart that is desperately wicked. Who can know it, he says? Who can know it? You can't even know it except God reveal it to you. That's the case. And so God searches the heart. How does He do it? He does it through His Word. We'll talk about that next time a little bit, in a little bit other scriptures, how the Lord searches the heart. It's through conviction, and it's through bringing sinners by the Holy Spirit in the new birth, when He gives life, when He gives that new heart, and He brings them to see their sins and brings them to see Christ in all of His glory. That's what Jeremiah was preaching. See, he was pointing the people of Jerusalem in that day to the future. Same old message, though. Not a new. Later on, he calls it a new covenant, but that's talking about something else we'll get to. But it's the same old message. It's the same gospel. It never changes, and that's the glory of it. God never changes. You know, He said in Malachi chapter 3, I believe verse 6, He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, sinners saved by grace, that's what sons of Jacob are. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, God doesn't change. When He first, this message of salvation was actually in the mind of God, the mind of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, one mind, one God, three persons, but it was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Before this world began. How old is it? There's no age to it. It's eternal. Christ, what he did on the cross for his people is the product of an everlasting covenant of grace. And it speaks, Paul spoke of a salvation that was given to us, his people, believers, before the world began. Isn't that amazing? That's how old it is. And when Adam fell, the message didn't change. When God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, the message didn't change. Oh, there's that law to show them their sin. But salvation was always the same way. When God brought in the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, Ezekiel, Daniel, go on and on, the message didn't change. And when God concluded the Old Testament scriptures, the message didn't change. When Christ came into the world, the message didn't change. It was confirmed. That same old message was confirmed by his coming into the world. And he told them that. And so when he died on the cross, the message didn't change. That death that he died was the beginning of a new hope, but the same old message. When people saw that, he died, he was buried, he arose again the third day. Why? Because of righteousness brought in. Sin was purged away. He paid the debt in full. That's what God revealed to Adam back in Genesis chapter 3. And then when Paul and the apostles went out and spread the message and wrote those letters, the message didn't change. And when John sat down on the Isle of Patmos and wrote down the book of Revelation, the message didn't change. The same old message of God's grace in Christ, salvation based upon his blood alone, salvation based upon his righteousness alone. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Same old message, same old truth, same old gospel. But I'll tell you what, if you ever learn it, each time you hear it, it'll seem like it's new, new every day. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.